Matthew's gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 24 this morning, and we want to read several verses this morning and then preach from most of the chapter this morning, Matthew chapter number 24. And we're going to begin reading in verse 32 and read out through verse 51 this morning, and we don't have a text verse. Just all of these we're going to use this morning, or most of them. Verse 32. Matthew chapter 24, the Bible said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You may be seated. Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning. We bow, Lord, our unworthy heads today. Thank you for the blessings that have already been ours, Lord, this morning to enjoy from the time that we were awakened this morning. And Lord, as we come now for the preaching time, this morning, Lord, we come and yield our bodies a living sacrifice to you this morning. And we ask you, Lord, to take our body and use it to glorify your Son and, Lord, to preach your word today. I pray today, Lord, that somebody might be saved today. Lord, I pray today that somebody, Lord, that needs to come and rededicate their life to the Lord and make recommitments in their life, that I pray that they might do that today. And I pray that all of us might be challenged, Lord, this morning to keep looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you for cleansing us and keeping us clean. And, Lord, we ask you now to give us liberty this morning. And we pray that, Lord, you'd make the preaching easy, because that you give us liberty today would be our prayer, our desire. And we pray that you'd help us to preach and them to listen. And may God be glorified in it all, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. These verses, of course, are very obvious this morning, that these verses have to do with the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord. And we know that the early church believed that the Lord was going to come. All kinds of passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, just every few chapters, it talks about the coming of the Lord. The fact of the business is, almost all of last year, on Sunday night, at least for many months, I preached every Sunday night on the coming of the Lord in every book in the New Testament except for about two. So every book in the New Testament talks about the coming of the Lord. Verses like that, the Apostle Paul wrote many, and over in Titus, he wrote in Titus 2 and verse 11, he said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And so it was called the blessed hope. He wrote about it to the Corinthian church. He wrote about it to the church at Thessalonica, told them that he didn't want them to be ignorant about it. He said, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even those which sleep with Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord," there it is, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together to be with them that are in the Lord." Now, the Bible says the Lord is coming back again. I've been preaching for 32 years, and I've been preaching that the Lord was going to come back again. Been preaching that many times every year for 32 years. You would say, "But he hasn't come." No, not yet, but I still believe he will. But I'll tell you what, in that 32 years, he hasn't come for the church, but he's come for a lot of people that was in the church. And you see, what I'm going to preach about this morning, it is about the coming of the Lord, when he's going to come in the clouds, when he comes and sounds the trumpet, when he comes and the graves are open, when he comes and the church is caught up with him in the clouds. No doubt that's what this scripture is talking about. But what I'm going to say this morning is just as true when it's applied to individual people, that the Lord might come for today. He's coming for the church, but he's coming for every one of us. If he doesn't come for the church, he's going to come for every one of us at some point in time. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But what I want to preach about this morning, for a few minutes this morning, as I read through these verses that I've read today, I find four categories that are mentioned here, four categories of people that will be found at Christ's coming. And everyone here will be found in one of these categories. If Jesus were to come right now, you would find yourself in one of these four categories that I'm going to mention this morning. Now, I want to say, first of all, in verse 37 through verse 39, the Bible said, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I want to say, first of all, that this illustrates to me the Lord used the days of Noah as that as it would be at the coming of the Lord. And to me, this illustrates this morning that when the Lord comes, if he were to come today, if he were to come to tomorrow, if he were to come this week, that there will be some that will be surprised. You say, "Brother Rick, don't you think everybody will be surprised?" No, I don't. Because the Bible illustrated it by Noah. Can I tell you that Noah was not surprised about what took place? Fact of the business is that Noah had been preaching about it for about 100+ years, that Noah had been preaching that the Lord was going to come, that judgment was going to come. He had been preaching about it. You don't think he's surprised? No, I don't. I don't think he was surprised when the flood came because he'd been preaching it was going to come for a long time. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't believe he was surprised because he had been preparing for it every day. Every day Noah had been going out and doing what God told him to do. Noah had been working on that large ship. Noah had been working on that ark that God had told him to build. And he wasn't surprised, even though he didn't understand how it was all going to come about. He didn't know how it was going to happen because it had never rained. The earth was watered by a mist, and it had never rained. And he didn't understand how something like this could happen no more than I understand how the rapture could happen. But just because he didn't understand it, I didn't mean he didn't believe it. Because the fact that he worked on that ark every day and done what God told him to do was proof that he believed that the judgment of God was going to come. So you say you don't think he was surprised. No, I don't. I think precisely there were 8 people that were not surprised when the flood came. Because the Bible said Noah and those 8 people were saved so as by water. In other words, they went into the ark. They were saved because they believed all along that this thing was going to happen. Us Christians that believe in the coming of the Lord, we've been preaching about it. We've been trying to prepare for the coming of the Lord. I tell you, we ought to be surprised if Jesus come right now today. The fact of the business is, the Bible tells us to look for His coming. John prayed for His coming, and you and I should believe the Lord is going to come again. But you see, precisely 8 people were not surprised about the flood when it came. But everyone else, the Bible said it caught them by surprise. He said they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. Luke tells us they were buying, they were selling, they were doing all of these things. And when the flood came, they were taken by surprise. And so most of the world, if the Lord come today, most of the world would be surprised. They would be caught by surprise that Jesus had come. You say, now why is that? Well, they were so busy buying and selling. They were so busy marrying and giving in marriage. They were so busy eating and drinking that they ignored all the signs that were all around them. You say, what signs? Their world was changing. It wasn't like it once was. Men's thoughts had become evil continually. Men had corrupted their ways upon the earth. Men had become cruel because the earth was filled with violence. But they were so caught up in the earth, so conformed to their world, they didn't even realize these things were taking place. Isn't that true this morning with a lot of people in the world today? How this world's changed in the last 30 years that I've been preaching. But some people don't even notice the change because they're so caught up in it. But it's so much more corrupt. It's so much more cruel. This world is changing, but they never did even notice the signs all around them. And many of God's people never notice all the signs that are being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. And then let me tell you something else. Even though Noah done all this preaching, even though he preached all these sermons, most of the world was indifferent to what Noah had to say. In other words, they paid no attention to that old crazy man out there preaching about a coming flood and the world going to be brought to judgment. They paid no attention to that old man. They were too busy to listen to that old man. They were too caught up in their world to listen to that old man. And so when the Lord came, it took them by surprise. So it is today, my friend. We have preaching going out every day, every week. We have preaching going out, but people are indifferent to the preaching. They listen to it, but don't really think that much about it. But Jesus is coming again some of these days. Then let me tell you this. They were so involved in all the sin that was going on, they didn't have time to think about the coming of the Lord. And so when He came, they were surprised. Many people's going to be surprised when the Lord comes. If you look at verse 40 and 41, then He says, "Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." First group is those that are going to be surprised if the Lord comes. Are you surprised if the Lord comes? You shouldn't be. Your Bible teaches it. You've been heard it preached. He promised someday it's going to happen. And so we should not be surprised someday when the Lord comes. But then, when the Lord does come, everybody's going to fit into this category in one way or the other. But when the Lord comes, there's those that will be separated. The Bible said two women are working at the meal. One is taken, the other left. Two men are in the field. The Bible said one is taken and the other's left. Now it doesn't matter what your theology is about the coming of the Lord. I mean, it does matter. But what I'm saying is, in reference to what I'm about to say, it doesn't matter to what your theology is. You say, "What do you mean theology, Brother Rick?" Well, whether you're premillennialist or amillennialist or postmillennialist, you say, "I don't know what I am, preacher. You pick for me." Okay, you're premillennialist. You say, "What's that mean?" That means Jesus is going to come before the millennial. You say, "What's the millennial?" That is the 1,000-year reign. And we believe that Jesus will come and He'll come for His church and He'll usher them out of this world before the great tribulation sets in. Jesus is going to come before that 1,000-year reign. The Lord's going to reign for 1,000 years. You say, "What's that post-millennialist stuff?" Well, they believe that the millennium, Jesus won't come till after the end of the millennium. Well, that can't be, because they couldn't be no millennium without Jesus. Man's already been here for thousands of years, and they've got things worse and worse, and it's not going to get any better until Jesus comes. The Prince of the Peace of the Earth is going to come. The Bible said, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." Jesus is coming. Amen. You say, "What's that amillennialist? They don't even believe there's going to be one. They don't believe their Bible. They don't believe in the 1,000-year reign. But I believe there's going to be one. I believe the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. I believe the lion and the lamb are going to lay down together." Amen. And I believe a child will be as an old man at 100. An old man will be as a child as 100 years old. I believe Jesus is coming. But your Bible, regardless of what you believe about any of those three positions, regardless of what you believe, every one of you have to believe the Bible teaches that when the Lord comes, there'll be a separation. It's all through the Bible. Right here in our text, the Bible said one is taken, the other one's left. They're separated. The Bible, over and over again, in the Bible, it reads about separation. He said the tares will be gathered up into bundles to be burnt. The tares will be gathered up into bundles to be burnt. But the wheat will be gathered into barns, you see. He says that the sheep are going to be put on His right hand and the goats are going to be on the left. Judgment of nations. But there is a separation, you see. All through the Bible, He talks about those that are separated. The 10 virgins, He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. and five went in. On the other five, the door was closed. They couldn't go in. And so there is going to be a separation for everyone when Jesus comes today. You say, I don't know which category you'll be in. You'll either be with the Lord, you'll either be gathered to heaven, or you'll be gathered to be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. That's going to be a separation. That means that families are going to be separated. We see this in Luke 17, where that he has much of what's in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, but he says, remember Lot's wife. You say, what happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. She was left as Lot went out. So it is with many families who are going to be separated at the coming of the Lord. That's an incentive for you and me to try to win our families to the Lord. If you have a mom that's not saved or a dad that's not saved, if you have brothers and sisters that are not saved, this is an incentive that we would try to win them to the Lord. Because that families ought to love each other. Families ought to desire to be together. Families ought to desire not to be separated. But one of these days at the coming of the Lord, there'll be a separation. Children will be separated from parents. Moms will be separated from dads. There's going to be a separation. I remember reading years ago about a mother and two little girls that went to a Sunday night service, a Sunday morning service, and the preacher was preaching on the second coming of the Lord. And he was preaching about the separation and how that one would be taken and one would be left. And as he gave the invitation that morning, the mother was already saved, but one of the little girls came down and received the Lord and got saved that morning. And the other little girl didn't come down, but they went home that afternoon. As they went home that afternoon, that little girl began to worry about what she had heard preached that day and about the Word of God. She got up and started down the hall. She was going to try to find her mom and her sister, but she couldn't find them, and she hollered for them. Having heard what the preacher said that morning, she became frantic. She thought the rapture had already taken place. If you've been saved very long, there's probably been a time in your life when something happened and for a brief second you thought the rapture's took place and I missed it. You probably had that happen for a brief second. That little girl began to cry and she began to cry and run down the hall and scream for her mama and her sister, and they heard her, and they went into the bedroom, they went to sleep, and they got up, and as she seen them coming down the hall, she said, oh, mama, oh, sissy, she said, I thought that Jesus had come, and I was left behind, and I want to go with you all, and I want to be saved, and the little girl got saved and trusted the Lord. Oh, but wouldn't it be awful to have a rapture to take place, and you be took to heaven but have to leave some of your family behind. There will be a separation. Here it's illustrated by co-workers, two men in the field, two women at the meal. It's people, they're working together. But the Lord comes. One is taken, the other one left. It's an incentive for you and me to witness to those that we work with every day and try to win them to the Lord. Not only family and fellow co-workers, but I see an insinuation here of two friends, two women grinding at the meal. When I think of two women working side by side, I think about friends. I think about two women talking. I think two men could work side by side and they might work all day and never say a word. But I can't conceive two women working side by side and not talking and maybe not becoming friends, but the Bible said that one was taken, the other one was left. And so it's an indication that our friends, that we are to try to win our friends to the Lord. Let me just ask you right here, do you have any unsaved family? Are you trying to win them to the Lord? Do you work with people on your job or at the school where you go? Do you ever think about trying to win them to the Lord? You see, it's an incentive that one day the Lord's going to come and there is going to be a separation. A separation. One of the glorious things about heaven is those that have already gone on that knew the Lord. If we're saved, we get to be with them again. Amen. We'll get to see them again over there on the other side. You see, the Lord give that as an incentive. I couldn't tell you how many times that I've been in people's homes over 30 years. I remember one fella that I was in his home and he was lost and he was an older man. I began to talk to him about his soul and I said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm not saved." But prior to us getting to that point of the conversation, he said, he told me he'd been in one of the wars. And I didn't know it. I just took a gamble on it. But I said, "I bet you your mother was a good Christian, wasn't she?" He immediately filled up. And he said, "Yes." He said, "My mother was a good Christian." And I said, "I bet she prayed for you while you were over there in the war. I bet she prayed for you all time that you'd make it safely through." He said, "Yes, she did." And he said, "I bet you that your mother said, 'Oh, son, I want you to meet me in heaven someday.'" And she said, "Yes." Said, "My mother died and I told her I'd see her in heaven someday." And I said, "You're still not saved." And he said, "No." And I tried to get him to trust the Lord that day and be saved, but he wouldn't do it. But I left that day and about 4 or 5 weeks after that, he called me one day. And he said, "Preacher," said, "I wanted to tell you, I got saved today. I went to a revival and I got saved last night." You see, one of the incentives was the thought that his mother was in heaven and he promised his mother he'd see her again. Many of you here today have promised your mother you'd see her again, and many of you will because you've been saved by the grace of God. But I'll tell you, my friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved so you can see your mother and your loved ones again over yonder on the other side. Families have so much problems down here many times. Amen. We love each other, but we have problems. But I've said this, and I said heaven's going to be the place where that those that are saved, when they get there, you'll understand why I was like I am. And I'll understand why you were like you were. And then we'll run and hug each other's neck and get along throughout all the eternal ages forever and ever. And there'll never be a cross word. There'll never be any fusses or fight because we'll have that perfect knowledge then. And we'll be with the Lord. And what a wonderful time that's going to be. But there's those that will be surprised when the Lord comes. All of us will be separated into one place or the other if Jesus comes. Amen. Look at verse 43 through verse 46. He said, "But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered all his house to be broken up. Therefore," he keeps inserting this, "therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made rule over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods." Now, if we've looked at those that'll be surprised when he comes, if we've looked at those that'll all of us will be separated in one place or another if he comes, but there is those that if the Lord comes today, if he comes today, they will be so happy if Jesus comes today. Now, this is illustrated by a good man. You see, a good man is one that is watching over the household of another. The Bible said in Mark chapter 13, in verse 35, he said, "For the Son of Man is as a man who took a journey into a far country." He said he left his house, gave authority unto his servants, commanded the porter to watch. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. For you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Whether at noon, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. You see, we are good men. We are people that the Lord has went away, and he's left. He's gave authority unto his servants. He's commanded the porter to watch, and you and I are good men tonight. Did you know the Bible says that if you are saved this morning, that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. People say, well, preacher, I know what the Bible says, but I don't want to do that. It's not your choice. When you get saved, you're bought with a price. The Lord bought you. The Lord can use you in what way that He sees fit to get glory out of your life. You're not your own. People get saved and they live like they want to live. People get saved and they dress like they want to dress. People get saved and they talk like they want to talk. They live like they want to live. But the truth of the matter is that you're not your own. You belong to Christ. And we are to be good stewards over what God's given us, which includes our bodies. Amen. Now listen to this. And now that was a bad goodman he illustrates with, but then he comes on down and he talks about that faithful servant. When Christ comes and he finds that one, like he describes here in verse 46, when he finds someone like that, he said, blessed is that servant. Or that word blessed simply means happy is that servant. I would be happy. Would you be happy if Jesus come today? Hallelujah. Get a new body. Get a new home. Amen. A new home, a clear title to a mansion, a brand new body. Get to be with the Lord. Don't have to worry about the flu. Don't have to worry about cancer. Don't have to worry about heart attacks. Don't have to worry about car wrecks. Don't have to worry about wars. Oh, listen, even so, Lord Jesus, come today. You say, I don't want to leave my family. Get them saved and take them with you. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a good day in my life. The Lord just set me down. Now He said, now son, you might well forget it. You ain't going to ever have no perfect family down here. Because you can't have a perfect family. You can't have a perfect church. You can't have a perfect marriage. You cannot have a perfect anything in an imperfect world. With an imperfect body. I mean, you can have a good marriage. You can have a good church. You can have a good family. But not a perfect family. You see, all families have problems. Amen. All churches have problems. All marriages have problems. You say, why? Because we live in a sinful body. But one of these days we're going to have a perfect home, a perfect church, a perfect body, a perfect marriage, and everything's going to be perfect over there. Hallelujah. So there's some people when the Lord comes, and the Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery, will be changed in a moment quicker than an eye. That means if you're a Christian this morning, you're down, you're going through hard times. If you're like this faithful servant, that can change that quick. And you can be more happy than you've ever been in your life. And you'll be happy throughout all eternity. Which led the songwriter to write these words, everybody's going to be happy over there. Amen. Now, the kind of person he describes here that's going to be happy when the Lord comes. You see, you say, well, ain't every Christian going to be happy when the Lord comes? No, not if I understand the Bible right. The Bible said there's some that's going to be ashamed when He comes. There's some that's so tied up to the world, they don't want Him to come. There's some that they're saved, but they have set most of their affections upon the things of this old world. And they don't really care if He comes or if He doesn't come. And if they had their brother, they'd rather He wouldn't come. Listen. Makes me think of that song, you know. I never did like it. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. And I know what the implication is that, you know, you're going to get your loved ones in. You want a little more time to work with the Lord. Or work with the lost and try to win them to the Lord. But I think every Christian, if we're like we ought to be, we're like John. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Because I'm just going to tell you now, there's some people that if Jesus didn't come for 5,000 more years, they still wouldn't get right with God. I preached last Sunday night, I've been preaching on faith, and I read the passages over in 1 Thessalonians where the Bible says not all men have faith. But it doesn't say that all men can't have faith. It says not all men do have faith. Because all you got to do to have faith is believe what God said. And the reason they don't have faith is because they won't believe what God said. You say, I want to get saved, but I don't have faith. Faith right there in the Bible, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God give you a Bible. It's a gift of God. If you believe what God said, you can have faith this morning and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. But this servant here, just a few things real quick. This kind of person is going to be happy when the Lord comes. Verse 43 is a disciplined person. You say, where do you see that at? Because he said he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That word suffered means allowed. You see, a Christian ought to be a disciplined. There are some things you cannot allow. There are some things that you should say, as a Christian, I will not do this. There are some things that you ought to have convictions about, and you ought to draw a line and say, I can't go beyond that conviction. But the reason there are worldly, carnally Christians, worldly Christians, someone said, I don't know if there is such a thing as a carnal Christian. Get in my car. I'll show you all kinds of them. Amen. It means worldly. Paul said there was. He said, some of you are carnal, Paul said. But you see, there's something as a Christian we should discipline ourselves. You say, what's that mean? Don't you discipline your children? Well, that's what it means. You discipline yourself. You say, there's some things I won't allow myself to do. I won't allow myself to lay in bed on Sunday morning. When they're down there at the church house having church. Amen. I won't allow myself to be out doing something else on Sunday morning when God's Word's being preached. I won't allow that. There's certain places I won't allow myself to go as a Christian. You see, it's a disciplined life. There's certain things that we must discipline ourselves. We're not just out there just doing anything and going with every whim and everything that comes along. No, if we want to be happy when Jesus comes, we have to have some discipline in our life. Which leads to verse 45. He said, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Not very wise if you're saved and you won't live for the Lord. But he said, who then is a faithful servant? If you want to be happy when Jesus comes, there ought to be some faithfulness in your life. Amen. Let me say this. Verse 46. He said, blessed is that servant. Happy is that servant. When his Lord comes, he finds him doing. He'll be doing something for the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm going to church. Great, but you ought to be doing more for the Lord. You'll be doing something for the Lord. You say, what could I do? Well, there's all kinds of things you could do. We buried Sister Joyce Proctor yesterday. And Jessica is not here today. She's sick, but she took it real hard. But the reason she took it hard was because Several years ago, she'd got right with the Lord and everything, and she come up to me one day and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I want something to do, but," she said, "I can't sing and I can't teach and I don't have the talents like some people have got, but I want to do something for the Lord." And she said, "Is there anything I can do?" And I said, "Can you wash dishes?" She said, "Yeah, I can do that." I said, "Could you clean like a, you know, I don't mean the church, but could you clean?" And she said, "Yeah, I could do some things like that." Well, I don't know if I did it then or the next day, but I wrote down an address. And I said, "Go over to this lady's house. She needs some help." And she said, "I don't know if I can do that or not, preacher." And I said, "Well, you want something to do, just go over there." And I said, "Try it. If it don't work out, then it don't work out." She went over to Joyce's apartment and she began to help her do some cleaning. She wasn't able. She was in a wheelchair and not able to get up and do things. And she helped her do a little cleaning, helped her wash a few dishes. And guess what? They got to be real close. Their hearts kind of got knit together. You say, why? Well, she was just wanting something to do for the Lord and she got out there doing something. You see, there's something to do if you want to do something. There's something to do for the Lord if you want to do something. There may not be a class for you, but there's somebody out there for you that you can help. You can do something for the Lord. And a busy Christian is a happy Christian if he's busy in the will of God. If he's busy or she's busy in the will of God is a happy Christian. Remember what the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon's servants? She said, "Happy are all of thy servants that continue daily working there for Solomon." Some people would be a lot more happier if they just had something to do. It's an old story. It comes to mind this morning. But years ago, a lady came into Dr. Hiles' office there in Hammond one day, and he said she wanted to talk with him. He went in there and he sat down and, "Dr. Hiles, I need to talk to you. I've got some problems and everything." And she began to tell some of her problems. And he just wrote on a piece of paper. And she got it on. He handed it to her. And he said, "Just try this. Bake a cake." She said, "Bake a cake." She's almost insulted by it. He said, "Bake a cake. And take it to somebody and come back and see me in 2 weeks. Well, of course, her church ran 30,000 or so. And so, might not see her in a Sunday morning service or something, but she didn't come back till like 6 weeks. She come back, she's all smiling. She wasn't down and out like she was before. She come back, she was all happy. He said, "You're supposed to come back in 3 weeks." She said, "I'm baking cakes. I don't have time to come see you. I'm busy. I'm doing something for God." And if a lot of people would just get busy just trying to help somebody a little bit, it would help them, and it would help God's church to grow, and would help the world to think more about God's servants and God's Christians being like Him. Amen. Busy. Look at verse 48 and verse 41. "But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We got three categories. We got those that are going to be surprised when the Lord comes. We're all going to be separated one way or the other if the Lord comes. We've got those that if He comes, they're going to be so happy. It's all over. We're going to enter into the joys of the Lord. "Blessed are the dead." I heard a voice from heaven saying, right, "Blessed are the dead that do die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Happy. Blessed forevermore. Amen. But there's going to be some that are going to be so sorry. So sorry. This is illustrated by the one called the evil servant. The Bible said, he said in verse 48, "My Lord delayeth his coming." The Bible says in verse 50, "The Lord of that servant Can I tell you that Jesus said one day, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? Can I tell you that Jesus said in Matthew 7, He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that knocketh, the door shall be opened, He says. For everyone that seeks, they find. But He says there, He said, enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are raving wolves. Verse 21, for not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. For many shall say to me in that day, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name and done wonderful things in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. Here is a man that says, Lord, Lord, but Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, he is so sorry. You say, what's he sorry about, preacher? First of all, he's sorry about his calculations. Because he said, my Lord delays his coming. Amen. You can get your Bible and sit down and get some books by theologians, a couple of tapes, and men know Greek and Hebrew, and go from this angle and that angle, and you can figure up all these dates. But the Bible says, no man knows the day or the hour, but my Father, which is in heaven. Don't say he might come at December the 12th of 2012, when your Bible says he can come today. Don't say that he might come in the year 2015. He might come then. Don't say that when your Bible says he could come in this hour. Folks, I don't care what they know, how smart they are. They're not smarter than the Bible. And the Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour, so you should look for the Lord. I don't know the day he might come. I don't know the hour that he might come, but I don't know any hour he cannot come. Amen. The Lord delays his coming. You see, when he didn't believe Jesus was coming, he didn't live like he ought to live. The Bible says every man that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure, 1 John 3. If you believe Jesus is coming, you try to live a clean life. But his calculations were wrong. And because his calculations were wrong, guess what else was wrong? It's in your Bible. He began to eat and to drink with the drunken. His company was wrong. He kept the wrong company. Where should a Christian be on Sunday morning if he's not sick or in the hospital, or nursing home, or bedfast? He ought to be at his Father's house. Amen. We used to have that tradition, at least in the South when I grew up, that on Sunday you went to your dad's father's house or you went to your mother's father's house and everybody had a big meal. Amen. Wasn't those wonderful times? I remember going to my grandmother's house on either side, but went more to my grandmother Prophet's house. And man, she'd have a big old meal fixed up. You wouldn't want Cracker Barrel back then. You wouldn't be interested in Shoney's buffet because your grandmother had her own buffet. It was a better deal than anywhere else. Amen. Boy, was it good. My mouth's watering right now thinking about it. Amen. But on Sunday, you went to your father's house. That was back when things were different and families were closer. And the country was better. People say, preaching that old Bible, that old time preaching, we don't need it no more. I just ask you to do one thing. Compare with what we had back then with what we got now, and which one was the better? And one of the Lord said, seek out the old paths and walk you therein. So we got with our own company. We got with our own company. You see, God's people, even though they're saved, God's people cannot hang continuously with the wrong company and stay where they ought to be with the Lord. You can't do it. That's why the Bible says, don't do like some have done and forsake the assembling of yourself together. But he said so much more as you see the day coming. Now you can have friends that are not saved. I'm not saying that. Unsaved people need some friends that are saved. You can have friends that are not saved. But your best friends, the people you stay with the most, should be people that are saved and living for God. He had the wrong calculation. He had the wrong company. And he's sorry about that now. But he came to the wrong conclusion. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. You see, what's going to matter in the end is how's it all add up? How's it all going to end up? That's what really counts, isn't it? How's it all end up? He didn't like the way it ended up for him. The Lord's coming, church. He's coming one of these days. Maybe today, but He's coming. When He comes, you're going to find yourself in one of these categories. Now, I can't make you do what I want you to do. We all have to decide for ourselves. But as for me, I want to be in that group that's so happy when Jesus comes. Now, if you're not in that group, there's a reason for it. And you folks are not ignorant, you're not stupid, you're not heathen. You know enough to know what you got to do this morning to be in that group that's happy when Jesus comes, and you ought to do it this morning. Amen. Let's stand if you would, please. I want the piano player to come. I want Brother Keith to come, and I want him to just play just as I am, or Diane to play it, and him to get ready to lead it here this morning. The Lord's coming. We don't know when He's coming. According to this nature's law, 3 score and 10, by the reason of score, reason of strength, 4 score, He's coming closer for some of us than it is others, just by the law of nature. But Psalms 39, verse 4 said, Lord, help me know my end and what it is, to measure my days, I might know how frail that I am. For Thou makest my life as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing to Thee. You don't have to be old to die. If you're old enough to know you need to be saved, you're old enough to come. Will you come this morning as the Lord speaks to your heart, whether young or old? Will you come this morning? Father, help us today in Jesus' name as we sing. Will you do that? This little girl got saved the other day, and she's been coming to pray for her family. She got the message. She heard the message today. She's come to pray for some of her family. You got family needs to be prayed for? Let's sing, You Come Today. As I am, if I